Come along and join Marisa LaMagna as she talks about Bay Area Green Tours, where custom-planned educational tours showcase the sustainable economy, both rural and urban. Bay Area Green Tours' primary mission is to show how people can incorporate responsible social justice into their personal and professional lives. Tours range from ferry building marketplace tours to visiting cutting-edge architectural projects and rural farm visits. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the Presidio in San Francisco. Come along and join Marisa LaMagna. Bay Area Green Tours. Tell us about what that is.
Bay Area Green Tours is the love of my life, actually. I've been doing it for 8 years. Mm-hmm. I launched it as a crazy idea for the Green Festival in San Francisco. And a way I wanted to show people positive models for the future.
What sort of subject specifics?
Okay. My background is I have a master's in education and I've raised 5 teenagers in some capacity, not all mine. And I realized one of the hardest things about life is knowing what you're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I'd been involved in sustainable businesses and social entrepreneurship and health, and I really looked at the planet and how sad and sick it was, and I thought, I want to show the world all the beautiful things that are happening and not whine about global warming, but show them the solutionaries and all the change makers that live in the Bay Area. So we're really blessed to live in a place where there's such innovation, so many great ideas. So I started doing that as a way to inspire people and empower them to really see what is possible.
So what do you show them? What do they see?
We take them out to learn about green building, sustainable food systems, food justice. We go to gardens. We'll take people to gardens to volunteer. We will bring them out. My favorite is zero waste tours, showing people how things could be reused, taking them to a landfill where they actually see the magnitude of the Altamont landfill and all the plastic bags floating around, getting captured by a giant fence. It's like an art piece. I love to show, especially young people, career paths. So I've had a few students who've gone on tours with me who now have gone on to be architects and will say, hey, I never knew about green building till I went on your green building tour. So that's really exciting for me.
When you look at modern green architecture and sustainable building, what are some of the specific things that you have observed that are most fascinating to you?
Well, I was very fortunate to live and work right near the David Brower Center in downtown Berkeley. David Brower was one of the executive directors of the Sierra Club and Friends of the Earth, and there's a wonderful building in Berkeley that I worked in and was able to show everyone. So all the cement in the building had ash in it. It wasn't all toxic. The building was monitored so that the airflow was always perfect. The carpets were tiles so that you could replace one instead of having to roll out a whole carpet. They had solar. All the toilets were low flush with gray water. I was lucky to work in a building that was a perfect example of a green building. And I've taken young people to visit a straw bale house and see how it's built and actually watch the video of them building it. My passion in particular is I was part of the generation that dropped out in the 70s and lived in the woods and milked goats and grew food and then realized I wasn't cut out for that when I woke up with ice in my sink and said, I'm moving to San Francisco. So I'm very passionate about food and food policy, food access. I've been on the Berkeley Food Policy Council. Share an office with somebody right now from the Oakland Food Policy Council. I connect people to visit farms and really understand the true cost of food, why it costs so much, and to learn about carbon sequestration, and to really inspire the next generation of young farmers, because most farmers right now are in their late 60s, and that will be a problem if we don't show young people how to get engaged in the food system. So that's my specialty and area, and I'm not an expert in all these fields. I have people that I know all around the Bay Area, from Healdsburg to Santa Cruz, that are experts in certain fields, and I'll hire them to come in and perhaps host a group of Swedish architects that want to walk around San Francisco and learn more. They can answer more in-depth questions. Mm-hmm.
dovetail back to food for a moment.
Okay.
I presume that food waste is a huge issue, and that's something I know that you would deal with.
Yes.
Tell us about how you turn that around.
One of the most important issues right now is food waste. About 40% of the toxic carbon that's going into the atmosphere is coming from agriculture. And I think that's a part of what I really, really want to teach people about. And I have many ideas about that. But in particular, how can we learn about how to be more conscious about where our food goes? My job is to bring people out to see what I call the solutionaries and change makers, people like Dana Franz from Food Shift, the folks from Imperfect Produce. Dana started a kitchen called Alameda Kitchen where they're bringing food waste, recovering it from Andronico's supermarket, and I've been out there. They're teaching them how to make soups, but it's a brand new project. I'd love to show people the food waste tour. And, you know, even going to a place like a transfer station, Davis Street transfer station, or any of the local transfer stations where they bring all waste, you could see all the food that's going to waste. And, of course, some of it's getting composted, but not all of it is. Also, the fiber shed movement, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's very similar in the sense that it's management of soil. I think people are beginning to understand that soil is part of is a really huge issue that we have to be aware of, that we're not replenishing our soil, that soil is washing away, that there's ways to keep carbon in the soil instead of releasing into the atmosphere through no-till farming. And there's a whole cycle of folks that are working in the sheep industry who are shearing, creating wool, and creating local fibers. That's why it's called the fiber shed. So you have the watershed, you have your food shed, and you have your fiber shed. So I've taken folks out to visit some of these farms, meet some of the folks who are working in the fiber shed movement and are ranchers with alpaca and sheep, things like that.
So I presume that recycling and reuse of existing materials would be very important in your world.
Very important. In fact, I'm really excited. Malia, who's here today, and we're taking a trip to Cuba, and we're going to be taking folks to actually see a lot of art, because in Cuba, you can't replace things like we do here. So they've learned how to reuse things really creatively, and they have some farms that are very sustainable, really good models. So we're going to take folks to see that. I'm excited. My dad used to import cars from Miami to Cuba. They're probably all his cars. So
very cool.
Yeah.
When you talked about taking people around on the tours, do you have a van, or how does that work? How do they go?
That's our biggest challenge, is the cost of transportation, because we don't own a bus. It will be way too much for us and to maintain. And because our work is up and down, we're not always able to know how many tours we're going to do. I'm actually looking to find collaborators who would share a bus and then wrap it. It could be a billboard that's going all over. Some of the different folks who I've worked with, I think it would really be beneficial for them to have a bus that, like Cliff Bar, Numi T, those folks. And they're already, you know, very socially responsible businesses. And the transportation's the biggest issue for us.
In the interim, before you have your perfect solar-powered van to drive your people around.
Diesel.
Yeah. How do they get around? How do they meet?
Well, we are open to the public tours. We try to make accessible through walking. So we can do some walking tours, and we don't have to worry if not enough people show up and we have a big van with empty seats, because I can't stand the thought of that. We work closely with corporations and schools. They have school buses. There's an organization called Planting Justice that does wonderful work. They take prisoners and train them on going into gardens and planting, and they have a bus. So sometimes, I mean, they're not prisoners. They're folks who have been released. They're out of prison. Rehabilitated. They've come out. They work with Planting Justice. They teach them skills. They're amazing, and they have a bus. So we try our best to use their bus. It's an old rickety school bus. But if we're doing a group with seniors, we've got to get a comfortable bus with a bathroom. So it's a formula, the whole bus thing. And if not enough people sign up, we've got to get a smaller bus, or sometimes we rent a van. So, yeah.
I would imagine that the Bay Area Green Tours, that
there are costs involved. And so central would be angels, underwriters, benefactors. How do you get people to support you financially?
That is a good question. Well, one of the things we do is we work with some local farms that we have helped them rent out their farms. And that is a more steady income. So folks can go stay up in by the Russian River next to Armstrong Redwoods Park.
So a farm stay you're talking about?
Well, we rent the whole place out. So the farm that we're working with now, Sabor Mexicano, is absolutely stunning. It's owned by a third-generation Mexican farmer, and he's been seed-saving from Jalisco, Mexico, and has 200 different peppers. I mean, it's 130 acres. It's amazing. So I've taken kids there, too, but then some nonprofits that I've known over the years have gone there for their retreats and schools. We have weddings there. So that's actually been really helpful. We have two other farms we're talking to. So it's a more steady income because just the tours come and go, and I need to work on sales more.
Only because you have to go. You're a speaker tonight. You're going to be on stage. I have to let you go.
Yeah.
But before you go, give us a website and how somebody would learn more.
My name is Marissa LaMagna, and if you'd like more information about Bay Area Green Tours, you could Google us or check out bayareagreentours.org.
What a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to do this.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Francisco, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansas Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
The Underbed techno music was performed by Michael Carlin.
It was a large room full of people, all kinds, and they had all arrived at the same building at more or less the same time, and they were all free, and they were all asking themselves the same questions.